One digging a pit will fall into the same. A stone rolled away will return as it came. A false tongue is hating the ones in the know, and flattering speech is what grants overthrow. That was Proverbs 26, verses 27 and 28. Little children, our daily proverb for today. That's the end of chapter 26 of Proverbs. In the Word Green Version, 2004. It looks like tomorrow we'll be beginning the book of Ecclesiastes in that version. A partial translation of the Holy Scriptures. Our study for today in the Trojan War article, Trojan War it's called, a quilt work patch is the name of the article. We're on chapter 12, paragraph 6 today, but we've already really covered it. So we're going to be talking about whatever else comes to mind. I think that there are many other things we can discuss because I've been busy. I had a flood yesterday, actually, again, because I was dehumidifying, and I usually don't run the dehumidifier. I mean, the function of my air conditioner is to do different things. It can do air conditioning or dehumidifying. So, Trojan War, it's called Year-End Report, Quilt Work Patch. Yeah. That's the article we're studying, and it's from 2015, the very end of the year 2015. It was first published. And chapter 12 is a review of each of the previous chapters. So paragraph 6, we're reviewing chapter 6, but we should look at that chapter, I guess. So we'll have things to talk about there. But I had a flood yesterday, worse than the previous, because it overflowed the basin for a longer period of time. It was a bigger cleanup, but mainly just drying, and it would have dried itself, but it's not good to leave the wood wet, surface of the floor wet. Because it's an unfinished plywood. I've got plywood upon which I've laid down cork, which is beautiful for walking on. But I had to pick up the cork. I had to lift all the cork and dry it, put it near the big fan and let the fan blow on it to dry it out. That was something I had to do at the very end of the day after I was going to bed and didn't know anything about the flood. So took me longer to go get to bed. And I also ordered some things. Let's try and do our study first, and then we'll see. There are many other things to talk about. Oh, yeah, there's the... What's the brand name? What's it called? I want to find out what it's called. Let me just check my orders. If I look at my orders and see what I've got here. There it is. Fantastic. It doesn't even give the brand name. Oh, Yarna. Yeah, I was going to pronounce it with a different vowel at the end. It's a Yarna. It's a very unique company because they only make this kind of water softener product, or descaler, they call it. It doesn't really soften the water. It prevents scaling of the minerals in the water by ionizing somehow, and it's an electronic thing, which I have, you know, the details of which I have not studied, but it's I suppose you could call it well proven and well tested by many people who say that it works. But the thing is, it doesn't prevent the minerals from being deposited. It just prevents them sticking. So you can then wipe them off much more easily. And also, it prevents them from sticking from the glassware, for example, in the dishwasher and things like that. But I don't even use a dishwasher myself. But if you had one, that would be something it would be good for. But it also reduces the iron stains, so they say, in the toilets and places where you get those stains, where you have very hard water, after the calcium builds up, the iron sticks to that, and so you get these rust stains. And that, apparently, just installing this unit, those rust stains will start to disappear as well, automatically, without doing anything. I'm going to have to see. So I've been using, now that I've got the Yarna installed, and all it was, all you do is you wrap it, you screw the unit on the wall, or wherever you want to attach it. You could just attach it to the pipe if you want, to one of the pipes. It's just a plastic unit. You could just, what do you call those devices? The click ties, whatever they are. What do they call? But it's like a twist tie, but it just zip tie. Yeah, you can zip tie it onto whatever you're going to be attaching it to. If it's just a pipe you're attaching it to, if you want to attach it to the water pipe, it's just, because it's just plastic, it won't cause any issues, I don't think. But I chose to screw mine to the wall because I had a piece of plywood right there on the wall that I could screw it to in the basement. But then you wrap these, after you screw the unit on the wall, it has two copper ribbons coming out, one from each end, and you wrap those around the pipes, as with a gap of about half inch at minimum between the two wrappings, and the wrappings should be very close or overlapping, they say. You don't want any gaps between the wrappings, or very minimal gaps between the wrappings. And other than that, you just have to then zip tie the ends of the wrappings to hold it in place. But unfortunately, as is typical, the zip ties that they provided didn't work as well as some other zip ties that I happen to have. So I used the ones, and by the way, we're in hay fever season now. So I've got a drippy nose. It's going to be bad because I'm not running the HEPA right now because it makes noise. So now my nose is dripping where it was not dripping a few minutes ago. Maybe I should be running that. But I think I can get through the study, but it's going to be a little more difficult. So that was something that I installed very recently. Because of that, I've started to use my faucets now in the bathroom because I didn't want to have... It just didn't make sense to use the faucets. And I think that was one of the reasons. Also, of course, there was a problem with... I needed to replace a valve, so I ordered some new parts and so on. But we'll talk about that if we have time at the end. And other things, too. I've got a brand new... feels like a brand new phone because I put a new screen protector on the phone. Just this morning. Took me a few minutes, and... I didn't know how difficult it was going to be, it's kind of, I just woke up and I had to put the screen protector on the phone, so that was not the most relaxing thing in the world, but it seemed to have turned out really well so far. I really think it's amazing, and my previous one just cracked yesterday or the day before, or I'm not sure now exactly, I think, but the new one arrived so quickly that it was the new three-pack. I got a three-pack of screen protectors, the first time I've ever bought them. My previous screen protector lasted for 8 years. 8 years. Anyway, the discovery of Chapter 6 in this article, Trojan War, is that the Apis Bull, as always, installed on an exact religious full moon, for the Egyptians, that is, it's their religious full moon, lunar day 15. It's the lunar day 15. Sort of the middle of the month, right? 15 out of 29 or 30 days per month in a lunar month. But they established their full moon by, we believe, according to Parker in his 1950 article, by using the last day of visibility and then taking the very next day after that as lunar day one. So when they could see the moon at the very end of the month, that was the last day they saw the moon. The next day, when they couldn't see the moon, in other words, that was, you know, new moon or lunar day one. A new month began at that point. So the day after last visibility, that's how we do it now when we're trying to approximate what the Egyptians did. However, when we do that, you know, it's not the way that exactly that they did it, probably, because they didn't have these simulation programs that we use to calculate new moon or last visibility. For all we know, they might have had something better. We know their technology was advanced because we can't build the Great Pyramids today. I mean, it's pretty astonishing what they could do. I mean, they said that to build the Great Pyramids, somebody said you'd have to put one of these multi-ton blocks of granite or whatever they are, giant, heavy, multi-ton blocks in place every 2 minutes. For the 25 years that it took to build the pyramid, every 2 minutes for those 25 years, you'd have to be putting a new block in place, and each of those blocks weighs multi-tons. How could you do that every 2 minutes for 25 years? Like, just imagine it. And it seems that's why some people have said there's no way that the Egyptians could have built the pyramids. It's just impossible. And some people don't believe that they did build the pyramids. So in year 12 of Shoshank is when this religious full moon was recorded by the Egyptians. Year 12, probably these records were made by the priests, or possibly anyway, but in year 12 of Shoshank, and we found that to be in our chronology 794 BCE, but the date that we had for the Apis bull installation was 4 parrot 4. I think that's Pharmuthi, isn't it? Pharmuthi 4? I think so, yeah. But the dates of the Blessed Genealogy are really absolute, as we say here. And the final statement we said was, we owe many debts to fine Egyptologists. Sort of has a double entendre to it. Because in a way, it's a real nightmare to work through some of the Egyptian chronology problems. It's not easy in many cases, and we have to disagree with so many of the Egyptologists because they don't agree with each other. Which is not a bad, that in itself is not a bad thing, but it's, we also owe a great deal to them because of their ability to, or because of their offering that they've made, all the offerings they've made, which have helped us through the multitude of different counselors to finally arrive at our chronology. But 794 is what we have for year 12. And that's where we found a perfect alignment with the 4 parrot 4 date in chapter 6. If Jehovah's willing, now let's go back to chapter 6 and see what we have there in that chapter. Here's 6. Okay, there. Pharmuthi 4. I looked at the 783 date. But it turned out to be lunar day 14 and so on. We tried all these different dates. We sort of took a shotgun approach. Let's see whether we can find out what we said about that. Yeah. The shotgun approach, I said in chapter 6, paragraph 5, can be used when variables are well determined as to expectations. Because then we're doing a test of all the other unexpected results. At the same time, when we do the shotgun approach, which is simply to shoot, in other words, the shotgun shoots at everything in the general vicinity, so we shoot at everything in the general vicinity, meaning we test all the dates in that vicinity. A brute force method, you know, by looking at each date that's anywhere near in the decades before or after where we think it is, that's called the shotgun approach. Perhaps it's one way to at least describe it in my view. It's called the shotgun approach. That's just my expression that I use for it. But it seems to me, I don't know if anyone else uses that expression, but that's what I call it. And it's a good description, I think. But there are many circumstances that determine the appropriate way to approach any statistical problem, which this is, in a way, if we're trying to find out which date is more likely than sometimes we just try all the dates, you know. That's one way. That's the shotgun approach. That's the brute force method, or the shotgun approach. Instead of trying to narrow down first which is more likely to be the right one. But we, of course, we did narrow down already. We already had the chronology established with year one of Shawshank the Fifth as 805, and even in the previous version of the Blessed Genealogy, our chronology, we didn't have a different date than 805 for Shawshank the Fifth. We had the same date, 805. We didn't have to change Shawshank the Fifth up to this point, and then this test was very critical, because if it failed, if our date for Shawshank the Fifth failed, so that year 12 for this Apis Bull installation was not 794, we would have been in complete dismay, and we would have been, our dreams would have been shattered at that point. You know, our goal would have been seriously undermined or negatively affected, right? The goal of finding the true chronology, which we believe we did find, and we believed that ever since the Crucible article, so, you know, that we found, in fact, no, we even believed that we found the true chronology long before that, even at the time of the Green article and the Joseph article that followed it. Right at the time of those two articles, we had found the true chronology, but we had not found the true Egyptian chronology until the time of this article, we believed, but then it got even better later on, of course, with some of the details being the reign of Seti, for example, having been adjusted in later articles, and the reign of, I don't know what did we put for the reign of Tut in this article? Well, there it is, yeah. So I looked at Tut. And the reign of Seti, and I think we mentioned Tut as 1355 in this article right here. We don't believe that now. After doing further research, it looks like 1357 was year one of Tut, but it's certainly, it's very close to 1357 that we believe is the right year for Tut, with Akhenaten in 1375 and his reign being no more than 18 years, certainly, or 17 years and some months, but possibly he's got a year 17, I believe. That's what we know about Akhenaten. So there could have been a short reign after that. 1375 minus 16 is 1359. And so 1357 is Tut, as we find according to the lunar alignments of the... That's in the B4 article, the lunar alignments of Tut that gave us 1357. But if we talk about 1357 and look for it, it's not mentioned in this article. Yes, so we had a different expression for Tut in this article as to his year one, and a different expression in terms of the date for the year one of Seti the First in this article, too. But other than that, the chronology here was the Egyptian chronology had nothing else changed, like above or before or after Tut and before or after Seti, nothing changed. So everything was well determined. And so if we had failed this test, we would have been in deep trouble with this shotgun test in Chapter 6 for the Apis Bull installation. So, right, in a statistical problem like this, you know, one of the things that we're looking for is we're hoping that our date will work better than any of the others, and in fact it did, unbelievably so, but our chronology for the Egyptian pharaoh, well, all the pharaohs, including Shoshank V, but especially for Shoshank V in this case, it worked perfectly for this year 12 of his, and this Apis Bull installation was perfectly aligned with the lunar calendar as lunar day 15. As Pharmuthi 4, the Egyptian date. So it was such an incredible thing. But, you know, we took a big risk. Like, I took a big risk, but I guess I had so much confidence in the genealogy, in the chronology. I don't just want to call it the chronology, so we need to identify it. So that's why I call it the genealogy. But when I talk about the... First of all, we're very convinced that the priests would have installed the Apis Bull on Lunar Day 15 because they were very, very religious in their, you know, I mean, conscientious about their practices of the Egyptian religion. So that part we didn't doubt. We knew it would be Lunar Day 15. The only doubt is maybe it was a borderline case and it's sometimes difficult to determine what day is Lunar Day 1. Sometimes, right? Or what day was their day of last visibility if we are trying to determine Lunar Day 1 as the day after last visibility. That's the only problem here. But we didn't find that any other dates offered as good an option as our date. Our date was the best choice when we did all the calculations, all the examinations of each date that was a candidate for Muthi 4 falling on Lunar Day 15, and that's what Chapter 6 was all about. But every statistical problem, I made that point in Chapter 6, Paragraph 5, is different. Every problem is different. We wouldn't use the shotgun approach if we didn't know anything about what the chronology was. I mean, that unfortunately, that's what some people do, or could do. You know, anybody could try this shotgun approach and just say, well, we don't know what the chronology is, but let's just try and find out which is the right date. But they don't understand, perhaps, that they might get multiple alignments, multiple options, and then they wouldn't know which chronology was the one to be preferred. They would be torn. They would have to vacillate. So I was very certain, determined that I would find the chronology before I ever started doing that kind of brute force method. And then I thought that's the perfect time to use the brute force method because we already know what the chronology is. We're almost 1,000% sure what the chronology is. So why not use the brute force method at that point as a real test of our chronology to see whether there are any other options or whether our option is the only one. And somehow I just had the faith to say, well, let's just try it. And I mean, it took a lot of faith because if I found more than one good option, that would put doubts in some people's minds, including, more importantly, in my mind. But, I mean, that would be the worst thing. So it worked. Anyway, it was phenomenal. So now we're going to talk about a few other things. That's the end of our study for today in the Trojan War article, year-end report, it's called, also, and quilt work patch is another subtitle of this article. So I went and I got What did I buy? Well, I bought a new. I'm not going to say what I bought if I haven't used it yet. So I'm not going to. But I needed to replace the valves in the small bathroom. But oh yeah, So I ended up ordering some replacement valves also. But I found out the O-rings. You can order the O-rings as a kit for the Delta faucets that I'm using. Delta faucets have a kit on Amazon. You can order replacement O-rings, but you can't order the O-rings from a different supplier, it seems like, because they don't make them in that size. They're like 17 millimeter inside diameter, and that's got to be a tight fit, so it's a smaller size than the actual slot in which it fits. The diameter's slightly smaller than that slot. So I ordered the wrong size of O-rings, actually. Because not only was it the wrong inside diameter, and therefore also the wrong outside diameter, but also, so they didn't fit tight enough. But I haven't tried them, but I'm pretty sure it's not worth trying them, because they're going to be a loose fit. Plus, they have the thickness is too big. They're a non-standard thickness of 1.78 millimeters or something like that, instead of 1.5 or 2 millimeters. So I ordered 2 millimeters, and it turns out they're definitely too big in terms of thickness. But you won't know it until you see the O-ring. Once I saw the O-ring and compared it with the other ones I got, because I ordered replacement valves also with O-rings on them, I could see the difference on the standard correct O-ring compared to the ones I ordered. So unfortunately, those O-rings are not useful for that. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they'll be useful. You never know. But you see, if in our lives, if Jehovah's with us, then the kinds of things that happen are something like you'll order the wrong O-rings, and then later on you'll need the exact size that you ordered. And that's not going to likely happen, but it could happen with Jehovah, because Jehovah's like that. Yeah, it was only like $9 or something. It's a waste of money. Unless I find a use for these O-rings. But I wouldn't send them back. I could, I guess. But I never send things back, because in the future, I have the faith always that there's probably a reason why Jehovah had me order them, and I don't want to have to order them a second time. So I never send things back, generally. That's partly why. And I also am rather wont to throw things away either, because I know I might need them. So I collect a lot of stuff, and then sometimes it's hard to figure out where I put it. I ordered more chocolate recently, chocolate powder, raw chocolate, organic raw chocolate called cacao is the name. It's cocoa if it's cooked. Cooked chocolate is cocoa, and cacao is raw chocolate in the English language. That's the technical way of expressing it. If it's raw, it's called cacao. So I ordered more cacao, raw chocolate powder, and the thing is, I can't remember having used the other two packages I ordered previously. I don't know where they ended up, or if they're even still here and I didn't use them, or I can't find them, so I had to order some more. But That kind of thing keeps for like decades. You wouldn't have a problem in sealed bags. You're never going to have a problem with keeping it. So, yeah, that's just, I don't know how many decades. Maybe it keeps for centuries even. It keeps for a long time. Probably not centuries. That's the reason too. Yeah, oh, sorry about yelling. That's the reason why they say that the deluge must have been the time of all these events when the fossils were laid down, and or the age of the earth, rather. That's the reason why they say the age of the earth couldn't be millions of years, because they've got the dinosaur fossils, and they've found that inside the bones they still have living tissue. Living tissue that's still flexible, that still has resilience in the fibers of the tissue in these dinosaur bones inside the bones. they know they can't be that old. You wouldn't, unless you can believe that millions of years could pass. So they tried to, you know, make up stories about maybe, you know, it's contamination again. That sort of explanation just doesn't hold any water, though, does it? The flood holds some water, doesn't it? I just realized that's an inadvertent double meaning there, but the flood is the best explanation for the laying down of the fossils, not just for that reason, but because of all the water and that causing such a large amount of sediment that it could truly bury the fossils, which is required for that to happen, right? For them to be formed, you have to completely bury them under much sediment. Like, to be able to bury an animal as big as a Tyrannosaurus rex, for example, to bury that under sediment, you'd need a huge amount of sediment laid down all at once. Otherwise, the bones would be exposed to the elements for too long. You wouldn't get a perfectly preserved skeleton for any fossil, because they would all be, you know, scavenged by other animals. The explanations are endless as to why we know that the fossils were made by the deluge. It's very strong evidence. It's the only theory that makes any sense, and it beats out the old Earth theory in every way. But the first time you hear this, you might believe it, but you won't have enough information about it, or faith necessarily, or you might not be able to accept it or adopt it completely in your faith system, belief system. But coming back to the faucets, I got the faucets. I installed the new cartridge from some. I got a new cartridge in something else that I ordered. Put the new cartridge in into the old faucets. I put both cartridges in. The cold water now is working, so I've got that. I'm going to be determining what to do about the hot water. But the screen protectors, that was something I just did. I just installed it this morning. Can't believe how good it worked. But it's not absolutely in the exactly the alignment that I was. You know, there's always a slight misalignment, I guess. Tiny misalignment. But the camera hole is aligned, I think. That's why I can see myself. And, you know, there's a lot of things going on right now. I cleaned up the flood last night from overflow from the spillage of the dehumidifier. These air conditioners that I bought have a dehumidifier function that's phenomenal in cold weather. It's absolutely amazing. So we'll keep you up to date on things as we go along. But this is August 25th, 2024 of the Common Era, and the time is 22:53 hours Eastern Daylight Time. I love you very much, and I'm Ward Green. And thank you for listening and watching. And on my behalf, this is Liv Dusty, and this is Cassie. They're saying bye for now. We did chapter 12, paragraph 6 today of Trojan War. And it really is such a pleasure to share these things with everyone, and a great privilege.